People of God, tonight I want to draw your attention, if I may, to the book of Matthew, chapter 9, verse 27. And if you have your Bible with you, please turn there with me because we're going to be reading it together. Matthew 9, verse 27. It says, "When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, 'Son of David, have mercy on us.' And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, 'Do you believe that I'm able to do this?' They said to him, 'Yes, Lord.' Then Jesus touched their eyes, saying, 'According to your faith, let it be to you.' And their eyes were opened." Amen. According to what you believe, according to what you expect, let it be to you. And may your eyes be opened, just like my eyes will be opened tonight by the reading of the word, just like these two blind men. And you know, Jesus asked these two blind men a very, very important question. He says, "Do you believe that I can make you see?" And because of their answer, because their answer is yes, their eyes are opened miraculously and instantly as a direct result of their faith. As a direct result of their faith. And this is what the message is tonight. It's about how you and I can grow in faith. It's about how our faith can be activated to begin to lay hold of God's promises for healing. So then, what is faith? What is faith? Faith means that you have trust, that you have confidence, that you have belief in the fact that God can do it, in the fact that God is still moving, as we sang in that song. He's still speaking, as we sang in that song. And it means you have confidence and you have trust that it's God that can do it. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about the God that we serve. It's about the fact that our God is Jehovah Rapha, that he's a healer, that he's able to heal, that he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to the earth to enact healing miracles. And that those miracles didn't stop, but they're still here. And Jesus and the Lord is still moving mightily. And that's what our faith is in. Our faith is not in us. Our faith is in the God that we serve. Hebrews 11, verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things that are hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Some versions say not yet seen. And that's what it is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And what are those things that are not seen? Well, those things that are not seen are those things that we can't discern with our physical eyes. And having faith in unseen things is what faith is all about. 2 Corinthians 4:18 puts it this way. It says, "What is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." I say that again. What is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And these unseen things that we're going to be talking about tonight, these miracles, these signs, these supernatural healings, they are part of what we would describe as the unseen realm. They're the invisible spiritual things which transcend time and human understanding. And to see these miraculous things come about, we need faith. Because it says in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith, it is impossible. It's impossible to please God. And I don't know about you, but I want to please God. Does anyone want to please God tonight? Amen. Amen. And so we need to grow in faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please him. The more faith that you and I have, the better. The more faith that we have, the better. You know, in the natural, you may not have seen the outward manifestation yet. You might be here and you might have been praying for different things to happen in your life, and you haven't seen it come to pass yet. But the fact is, in the unseen realm, there are many things going on, many things that you can't see. Some of you here, you're sick in your body, maybe some of you online, are watching and you're in your bed and you're listening. And you're thinking, how is this going to come about? Because I've been praying, I've been believing God, but I haven't seen it yet. But the Lord is saying to all of us tonight that we need to remain in the right posture. We need to remain in the right posture where we say, Lord, I know that you can do it. And I know, Lord, that if I stay in this place of prayer, if I stay in this place of believing, if I stay in this place of faith, then you can work a miracle. Does anyone agree with that tonight? Amen. Amen. And so sometimes we need to remember, because in our society, everything is about what is seen. It's all we focus on all day. What is seen? What can we see around us? And so sometimes we get distracted about the invisible things, the unseen things. We just forget that they exist because the physical things are loud and they're brash. But the Lord says and reminds us tonight in this story that these two blind men, they had faith in advance. Does anyone have faith in advance tonight? Yeah, we need to have faith in advance that Jesus can do it. And that's what kept them hoping. They had faith in advance. They had heard about Jesus. They'd heard about the miracles. They'd heard about the signs. And those were the things that gave them the evidence to believe, that gave them the evidence to trust that when they had their opportunity, Jesus would do the same for them. And their eyes were opened. As Christians, we have an amazing heritage of healing. And it's something that we can easily forget and we can easily begin to overlook, because sometimes we might not see healing for a period of time and we might think, okay, well, maybe God's not moving anymore. But we just sang, I still believe that he's moving. I still believe that he's working all things for my good. And so sometimes when we get to that place, we need to remind ourselves again that it is God and he is moving and he's going to do what he said he's going to do, no matter how we believe or not believe. We need to focus on what he said. And when we think about these two blind men and we think about all the different healing things that have been happening, sometimes I just get blown away. I get blown away by reading accounts of how people over the years have been contending for healing, and then they see healing. I was reading a book about John G. Lake recently, and about how the fact that his wife was sick, and that encouraged him to go and investigate and find out a bit more about healing. And then before you know it, he's running healing crusades, and he's healing hundreds of thousands of people, because he had a need. And so he went searching. He went looking to find out about how healing was going to take place. And if you think about it, our heritage is healing, because our heritage here, especially as a Elim Pentecostal church, our heritage is based and founded in the depths of God healing. Some of the healing miracles that took place basically encouraged people so much to join churches that churches were filled overnight. People saw miracles, signs, and wonders, and we're just talking about at the beginning of the last century. The Lord was moving mightily, the Welsh revival, the Azusa Street revival, you can read all about it. But the miracles, the signs and the wonders is exactly what this movement is birthed in. This is what this church is about. You know, when they were doing the excavations in the basement and they were doing all the renovations, they found wheelchairs, they found crutches, they found walking frames of people who were sick, who came here believing God for healing, and they received a supernatural, miraculous healing. That is the God that we serve. Does anyone agree with that tonight? That is the God that we serve. Our God is a healer. Let's say it. God is a healer. God is a healer. God is a healer. Amen. Amen. Sometimes we just need to remind ourselves of who we serve. We need to remind ourselves. You know, our heritage also, if you think about it, our healing heritage starts with Jesus' ministry. Because when Jesus comes to the earth and he begins his ministry, he proclaims that the kingdom of God has come near. And as if to explain what this means, he begins to move in miraculous supernatural healing. He makes crooked things straight. He makes broken backs healed. He fixes bodies. He does all sorts of things as if to show, look, when I say the kingdom of God has come near, I mean that it means that all crooked things are going to be made straight. That's what I mean. I mean that all the things that are not right are going to be brought into order. I'm going to bring sinners back into repentance. I'm going to help you realize that there's a God in heaven who you need to turn to and you need to serve. And so that's what Jesus does when he comes to the earth. And one of the best things I think about Jesus' healing ministry is that he doesn't just keep it for himself. He doesn't just keep it for himself as though it was some unobtainable thing. He doesn't just say, right, okay, I'm the healer. I'm the one that's going to do all the healings, and that's it. No, what he does instantly is he chooses his disciples. He gets his disciples doing exactly what he's doing, healing the sick, raising the dead, cleansing lepers. He gets them out doing his work so that there's a multiplication that happens. And then even when Jesus leaves, is about to leave the earth, he doesn't want the healing to stop. Instead, he says, no, I'm going to send you a helper. John 14, verse 26, he says, listen, the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He's going to teach you all things, and he's going to remind you of everything that I've said to you. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father is going to send in Jesus' name, is going to teach you all things, and he's going to remind you of everything that Jesus has said. Think about that. You know, why do we need teaching and reminding? Why does Jesus write that? Why does he say we need to be taught and reminded and taught and reminded and taught and reminded? Because in Romans 10, 17, it says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so when we are in the word of God, we get taught, we get re-reminded again and again that it is God who we serve. It's God who's able to do these wonderful things. You know, Hebrews 4:12 says that we need to be reminded again and again that God is living and active, and his word is powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. Basically cutting into the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. But I love the bit where, you know, different versions say it in different ways, but there was a version which said it cuts straight into the soul and the spirit. The soul and the spirit of the person, that's exactly what it cuts into. The word cuts straight into our soul and our spirit. And that's why the word is so alive. That's why the word is so supernaturally wonderful. That's why you can read the word and think, wow, I thought I'd read that before, but clearly I've forgotten everything that was in it because I didn't quite get it that way. And that's what the Lord does. He reminds us again and again and again. The thing about faith is you can't buy it. You can't borrow somebody else's faith. Your faith is your faith. Sometimes people are out, they're searching for the woman or the man of God to lay hands on them. And don't get me wrong, 1 Corinthians 12 does explain that some people have a gift for healing. And that's a beautiful thing. But I believe that tonight God wants to remind us that he wants us to trust him, to believe him, to enact healing. Because the fact is, God heals in so many different ways. There's so many different ways that God can heal. We know that we can lay on hands. We know that the spoken word can release and activate healing in people's bodies. We know that the prayers of the saints availeth much, and us praying and believing together makes a big difference. You know, I get really excited about healing. It's one of those topics that just makes me excited. And I get so excited about it because I have seen healing. Yeah, I've seen people healed. And it's been such an excitement to me. I remember one house visit that we went on, someone had a bad leg. Their leg was really, really in a bad way. They couldn't get up, they couldn't walk. But in the name of Jesus, hands were laid on them and they were jumping up and down in their living room. That's the God that we serve. I think about my own children. I remember one of my children were really sick and they were in the hospital. And we were praying and I said, guys, everyone pray, everyone pray. And there was an infection. They had an infection. And I was praying. I was talking to the doctor. The next morning, the doctor said, this is really unusual. We haven't seen this before. But their infection levels have halved overnight. And I was like, Lord, thank you, Jesus. That was a direct result of the prayers. And then I remember one time when I wasn't feeling very well, I wasn't in a good place. My knees, I kept having all these knee pains, buckling knees, aching knees, pain in my knees. And I just knew I need to get to the house of faith. I need to get around people who believe in healing. And so I made my way to a prayer meeting. I remember sitting there at the front and I was like, Lord, I believe you can heal. I believe you can heal. Yeah, I don't know about myself. I can't heal myself, but I know that you can do it. And I remember sitting there and then all of a sudden the pastor says, tonight we're praying for healing. And I was like, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. And then he said, we're gonna lay hands on each other and pray for healing. And so I was just so excited because, you know, different prayer meetings can be different things. You don't know what to expect, but that was my prayer meeting. The Lord had got me there just for that. And anyway, when the time for prayers came, somebody turned round and they said, can I pray with you? And they put their hands on my knee and it was instant. The Lord healed my knees and I have never had knee problems ever again. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And I tell you these testimonies to encourage your faith. There's another story of my friend. Her brother-in-law died. He effectively died. He was dead for many, many minutes, way over the normal amount of minutes. I believe it was over 15, between 15 and 20, 15 and 30 minutes. Anyway, she let everybody know what was happening and she said, everybody begin to pray. Begin to pray. And so there were different prayer circles going round for this man who was in hospital. They'd managed to get his heart beating again, but he was on a breath machine. And the machine was breathing for him. And so they said to the wife, they said, listen, he's a vegetable. You know, we've managed to get the heartbeat back, but the fact is he's not going to live. Or if he does live, he's going to be a complete vegetable. There's no point. And they said to the wife, you need to turn off the machine. You need to turn off the machine. And she said, no, I'm not going to turn off the machine. And it was a big thing. She said, no, I'm not going to turn off the machine. We're going to believe for healing. And I was part of this group of people who were praying. We were praying all the time. All the time. The prayers of the saints availeth much. The righteous prayers availeth much. We were praying. There was updates, this, that, and the other. You know, every time on WhatsApp, okay, what's happening now? I was even reading it out in live commentary with my family saying, oh, yeah, this is what's happened now. This is what's happened now. But basically, he made a full recovery. Full recovery. Full recovery. He defied every doctor's assessment. And even the doctors were shocked. And then I saw a video of him recently. And, you know, he's back. He's back being, he's a husband to his wife and he has three wonderful children. And his life is here. He's alive. It wasn't his time to go. It wasn't his time to go. And so I want to encourage you tonight that God heals. He heals. Can we say God heals? God heals. God heals. Wow, Lord, weeks and months sometimes we spend praying and God heals. You know, don't get me wrong, I love doctors. I do love doctors and I believe that God calls many to work in the medical field. But sometimes even the doctors are shocked. Even the doctors are shocked by miraculous recoveries. And so we need to remember that. And why is it so important then what we believe? It's important what we believe because the enemy wants us not to believe. You know, imagine everybody don't believe. It just rubs off on everyone else and then no one believes. And so that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to cut straight into the heart of your faith. He wants to rip out any bit of faith you have left and then stamp on it to make sure that you don't have any more. But tonight I'm here to remind you that the Lord says that you need to have faith. You need to keep the faith and you need to keep believing in the fact that he can do it. Oh, wow. When we believe, God can work through us. When we believe, God can work through us. As Jesus says in Mark 16, verse 17, he says it's really important that you believe because he said, and these signs will follow those who believe. Not those who doubt, not those who have issues. These signs will follow those who believe. And then he goes on to explain what we should be walking in, what our heritage is, what our heritage is in. He says, in my name, they will drive out demons. In my name, they will speak with new tongues. In my name, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. In my name, they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Not in our name, in Jesus' name. And he says this to us because he wants us to understand that as his disciples, living over 2,000 years later, he wants us to remember our heritage. He wants us to remember the signs that should follow us because we believe. And we are called to live this out. You know, recently I was at a conference and there was a lady who was from Wales and she was talking about healing. And she was talking about all these wonderful healings that she'd seen. And she said she was telling her lecturer that she wanted to write about healing and he was kind of making light of it. But anyway, she kept going and he said, look, if you can find one or two testimonies, then okay. See if you could try and find up to eight. And he was kind of doing it in a way like, oh, you're just not going to find them. Don't worry about it. But anyway, she carried on and she did an email. She sent it all out over Wales, trying to ask people about healing, if they'd received any healing. And it came back. She had over 630 responses of how God healed people. 630 responses. And I thought, wow, look at that. But she was moving in healing. She was someone that prayed for healing and she saw healing in her own life. And so tonight, the Lord wants to remind us that it's in his name. It's in Jesus' name. He says that we need to lay hands on the sick and say, in Jesus' name, be healed. We need to go to those who are of oppression in various forms, demonic oppression. And we need to speak to the demon and we need to say, demon, go. We need to go to those, Lord, who are sick in the mind. Depressed, stressed out. That might be even you in here. And we need to say, mind, be restored. Be restored in Jesus' name. And that's what the Lord is calling us to do. You know, when I was out the back praying with the intercessors, the Lord just said, simple faith. Simple faith. It was like he was saying, look, it's not complicated. It's not complicated. Sometimes we've overcomplicated things and we need to begin to move back into that simple and simple and simple supernatural faith. Does anyone here want to see more healings? Yes. Yes. We should all put up our hand. Does anyone here want to see more healings? Yes. Amen. I'm in the right place. You know, we want to see more healings in our church. We want to see more healings in our community. I want to see more healings among my friends and among my family. And I know that the only way that that's going to come about is if we, corporately, we grow in faith and we begin to move in faith. And so that's the first part. Jesus heals according to our faith. But I also want to explain a second part of this message, which is Jesus also heals when we reach out and we touch him. Yeah? Jesus heals when we reach out and we touch Jesus. Jesus in the Bible, we see many of the times people touching him and then he heals them. But there's also accounts where people go to Jesus and they reach out and then he heals them. And so we must remember that. Let's read Mark 6:56. It says, and when they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him and began. They ran through that whole region and began to carry about on beds those who were sick to wherever they heard he was. Wherever he entered into villages or cities or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and they begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched him were made well. Are you ready to reach out and touch Jesus tonight? Yes. Those of you watching online from your sickbed, are you ready to reach out and touch Jesus tonight to be made well? Sometimes we need to position ourselves, we need to posture ourselves, like I said before, physically, but also spiritually, to receive a touch from Jesus. Jesus puts it this way. He says, listen, he starts explaining what he's been doing. He says in Matthew 11, the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Offended. Why would anyone be offended by Jesus? Why would anyone be offended that Jesus helped the blind to see, the lame to walk, the lepers to be cleansed, and the dead to rise? Why would anyone be offended by that? You know, there were many religious people of Jesus's time, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, who were offended by Jesus' healing. They got upset about it. And sometimes when healing is discussed, you know, it can throw up lots of different thoughts and feelings in our minds. Because sometimes we have believed God, but we haven't quite seen what we expected to see. And sometimes these emotions that we're having can stop us receiving a touch from Jesus. Offense can stop you receiving a divine touch from Jesus. I was in Westfield not too long ago, a few years ago, and I was in Pret-a-Manger, and I was just, I think I was buying something. And I looked across the room, and there was a woman, and the Lord just made me look at her, just made me see her. And I said, okay. It was a bit of a strange thing, but the Lord said to me, Corinne, she's unwell. It was a very still, small voice. When people say, what did it sound like? It's sometimes when the Spirit of the Lord talks, it's just a still, small voice, very quick. Corinne, she's unwell. And I said, oh, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry. And then I proceeded to get about my business because I was trying to get to another shop. So I'm walking across the shopping center and the Lord says, she's unwell. As if to say, you know what that means. And so I'm like, okay. So that means you want me to go back and you want me to speak to her. So I muster up the courage. I'm like, okay, Lord, I know that this is you. Because sometimes when the heat of the Holy Spirit gets on you, you recognize that it's like, okay, I just need to do what God needs me to do here so that I can not feel guilty for the rest of the day. Or I could not feel like, you know, the Lord has kept saying to me the same thing and I've not been obedient. So I went to speak to the lady. I sit down just in front of her and I say, hi, can I speak to you for a little while? And she said, yeah, that's fine. And so I sit down with her. She's a very nice lady. And I begin to talk and I say, well, I'm a Christian and I just want to share a bit about the gospel with you, about Jesus. And she looks at me. Anyway, she lets me carry on talking. I talk for a few minutes and I share about the gospel and I just try and encourage her. And she says, well, I don't believe any of that. And she has a hostile reaction to the gospel. She says, you're a very nice lady, but I don't like that message. I don't like the message of Jesus. And I'm like, ooh, okay. Anyway, I carry on talking and I carry on trying to, you know, make it seem okay. And then in the end, she says, you know, no, I'm not gonna, you know, I get that you have a faith, but it's not for me, is what she says. And so I say to the Lord in my head, I said, Lord, look, I've sown the seeds. I've sown the seeds, I've come back, I've done what you asked me to do, but clearly, you know, she's not in a position or posture to receive. And so I'm getting up to go. And then the Lord, well, I believe the Lord encouraged me to say this. I said, but the Lord says that you're sick, that you're really unwell. And then she looks at me and I look at her. And then her tears start to well up in her eyes. And then she says, yes, I have bowel cancer stage 4. And I look at her and I sit down. And I'm like blown away by the word of knowledge. I'm blown away by the fact that God has chosen to call me to do this, because it's almost like it's confirmed why it was such a pressure to go back to her. So anyway, I say to her, you know, the Lord can heal. I explain everything. And she's still very, very hostile because she has a position. You know, she set her position that, you know, she's offended about the things of Jesus. She's offending about Christianity. And so even in all of this, she is still a bit resistant, but the tears are flowing. The tears are flowing, the tears are flowing, and I'm just trying to comfort and encourage her. And I believe at that moment, she was not physically healed, but there was a spiritual healing that was taking place. Because she recognizes, I said to her, look, I'm in a shopping center. There's no way I would know that about you. The Lord has literally told me to come back and speak to you. And that's because he wants to reach out and touch you. Jesus wants to touch you today. He wants to let you know that he loves you. That's where the conversation ended. And we ended well, but it was the end of the conversation. And so we parted our ways. But I always remember and I always believe that the Lord was spiritually healing her. And I believe and I hope that she went on to receive the Lord and she went on to be healed. Because it was such a specific thing that the Lord wanted her to know, that he loved her, that he was with her, that he was seeing her in her despair, in her trauma, in her pain. He was right there with her. And so, as well as offense, there are so many barriers that can come up against our healing or come up against us even moving in healing. And it's really important that we call them out. Worry, fear, doubt, human reasoning. Christians, I was talking about a non-Christian there, but sometimes Christians have the biggest barriers to healing. Maybe you have prayed, and sometimes this has happened. You've prayed, you've not got the result that you wanted, and so you say, okay, it doesn't work anymore. God doesn't move in healing. But the fact is, he still does. And sometimes because we've been disappointed, sometimes we become resistant. We become hostile. We become doubtful of the fact that God can still heal. And so it says in Revelation 21:4, I love this scripture because it reminds us of the fact that, yeah, some things we're not going to understand on this side of eternity. Some things aren't going to make complete sense. It says that he's going to wipe away every tear from their eyes in Revelation 21:4. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things will have passed away. And so that's our comfort when things don't quite go right, when we can't understand. But the fact is, we don't fully understand everything, but we still know that Jesus heals. We still know that God is real. We still know that God is alive, and we still know that God is a healer. And that remains a fact. And so God wants to encourage you tonight. I don't know if you're watching at home, if you're here, but he wants you to go again. He wants you to believe again. You know, when I was sitting there, the Lord was just talking about people's postures. It's like some of you used to be the one that would get the Bible out. You'd be on your floor. You'd be praying. You'd be believing God. You'd be crying out and say, God, would you do it again? God, would you heal? God, would you do that? You'd have your prayer lists. Your posture would be one of surrender. But then you got up because you got a bit disappointed and you don't do it anymore. But the Lord's calling you back. He's saying, come back, do it again. Believe again, stay with me again. I'm still the same God. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. He's saying, go again, go again, go again. You know, sometimes when we're talking about spiritual matters, you and I can use our intellect. We can use our cultural lenses and our human rationalism to reason away the topic of healing. But I just believe that the Lord wants us to remember that we're supposed to engage with healing spirit to spirit. You know, when I spoke to that woman and the Lord gave me that word, it was a spiritual encounter. It was the Lord speaking spiritually, giving me a spiritual word that wasn't physical. It's a work of the Spirit. And tonight, he's just reminding you again that he moves by his Spirit. He moves by his Spirit. Administering and receiving healing is a spiritual matter. It is a work of the Spirit, not of the flesh. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And it's in his name. You know, you can always blame Jesus. It's Jesus' idea. It's his idea. He says they will place hands on sick people and they will get well. They will place hands, those who believe, on sick people, and they will get well. Now, physical touch is a very important thing, and it shows us that Jesus expects us to do that. He says, is anyone among you sick? In James 5:14, he says, let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. The prayer of the faith, the prayer of faith, the prayer of faith will save the sick. It's going to be the prayer of faith, not the prayer of doubt, that's going to save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And speaking of offense, I just want to mention that there are some unusual ways that Jesus chooses to touch people. And sometimes in our Western society, we can get a bit weirded out by the way that sometimes God can move in unusual ways. Sometimes we like to work with God in a way that we say, Lord, I just want you to just heal me, but just do it calmly and nicely. I don't want to get embarrassed. Just between me and you, God. In Matthew 8, there's the lovely story of where Jesus, he touches Peter's mother-in-law and the fever just leaves her. And then just before that, there's a story of the leper who wants to be made clean. And so Jesus touches him and the leprosy just disappears. And sometimes, you know, we want that. We want the simple. We're like, yes, Lord, that makes sense. Sometimes our pride can kick in. But there are three accounts of healing that I just want to draw our attention to tonight, which I'll do very quickly. But these accounts are quite strange. They're unusual. There's one where Jesus, in Mark 7, he heals a deaf and a mute man by putting his fingers into the man's ears, then spitting and touching the man's tongue. Yeah, it's a bit weird. The man's ears are open, though. His tongue is loosened, and he begins to speak plainly. There's another one in Bethsaida, Mark 8, 22. Jesus heals a blind man by spitting on the man's eyes and putting his hands on him. Then there's another one, John 9, verse 6. It says, in Jerusalem, Jesus healed a man born blind by spitting on the ground, making mud with the saliva, and putting it on the man's eyes. Why? I don't know. Why does he do it that way? We don't know. But there's so many different suggestions. You know, everyone's got their intellectual perspective of why Jesus did it that way. Some people say that he was using the mud to recreate their sight. Some people say that he was doing it in opposition to Jewish traditions. While some also highlight the fact that spit was seen as an ancient, it had healing properties in the ancient world. And so there's all these different reasons why. But the fact is, if we think about it, we don't know why. We don't know why Jesus did it that way, but he did it. And so we need to know that when Jesus heals us, sometimes it's not in the normal way that you would expect. There are accounts like this, I believe, in the Bible, because Jesus wants to show us and remind us that he doesn't always operate in the known or the norm. It's not always going to be the way that you want it to be or the way that you've seen it before. Jesus can do it in unusual, interesting ways. And sometimes people look over at somebody and they think, oh, what are they doing? Why are they, I don't know, lying on the floor? Why are they shouting? Why are they praying? Why are they shaking like that? It's because the Lord is touching them. It's because it's God's work. And so sometimes we need to ensure that we don't have an offense when it comes to the way that God heals, because it might not look like how we think it should heal, how we think it should be. So we need to posture ourselves again. That's the key tonight, that the Lord is saying we need to posture ourselves again. Those of you here who used to believe but don't believe so much, that have stopped praying for healing, the Lord is saying you need to believe again and again and again. Mark 16, verse 17 to 18 says, these signs, let's say it one more time, will follow those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. So tonight, people of God, may I encourage you, may your faith not fail. Say it, may my faith not fail. May my faith not fail in you, Jesus. May my faith be strong. And may your faith grow tonight. May your faith grow by the hearing of God's word. As you search the scriptures in your house, in your room, as you listen to sermons and people reading the word, may your faith grow by the hearing of God's word. And may you see many healed as you begin to step out in new faith and lay hands on those around you who are unwell and believe and say, in Jesus' name, be healed. Because it's not you, it's in Jesus' name anyway. It says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. To him who believes, all things are possible to him who believes.